Welcome to 5.0, Fivefold and Beyond with Matt
and Amy.
In the 5.0 podcast, we're going to peel back the layers of the Ephesians 4 model, revealing a thriving church, ministry, or organization. This will help leaders to identify, work together, and implement or raise up the believers who want to move in their calling. Watch those who are in your care, and they become alive with a fresh passion as the anointings on their life are revealed, encouraged, and released.
We also offer seminars, conferences, and strategic advising to pastors and leaders. We'll sit down with you and help you to learn how to have a fivefold influence to church or organization. Also, how to identify and integrate people with fivefold giftings into your teams and into your organization. So connect with us at ihimtv.com. That's ihimtv.com.
So get ready to engage as these podcasts will open an understanding, remove confusion of the fivefold, and open your eyes and heart to what you and those around you carry. Welcome to today's podcast, Teaching DNA. As we're looking at the 5.0 or fivefold and beyond on these podcasts, we've been looking at pastoral and evangelistic, and we're at the teacher. And this is our second podcast talking about the teaching, what's in this realm of the teaching. We talked about the culture. This podcast is the DNA. This is going to be like gifts, anointings, some traits, different stuff like that. That's just going to help pick out. You might be able to identify that you have some of these things.
This is going to help you today to understand and recognize a healthy teaching model.
That'll do.
Because, you know, we've all had those bad teachers. You know, the ones where we sat in their class and we didn't learn a thing. We went through maybe, you know, one or two semesters with this teacher and got nothing out of it. And that can be in a secular setting or a religious setting as well. Sometimes people just don't understand a healthy teaching or effective teaching model. And so that's what we want to help you discover today, as well as, like Dr. Matt was saying, maybe you have some gifts or traits of the teaching DNA in you. And we want to help pull that out and bring a recognition for you with that, help you kind of explore and build on what God's put in you.
So today's scripture that we're going to take this from, there's so many more, but we just pick a couple. That's what we're doing. We're still opening up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13. But today's verse is, this session's verse is Proverbs 9:9 out of New American Standard says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning.
And that's the whole goal, right?
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Every time we hear teacher, sometimes people are thinking, rah, 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 Charlie Brown's teacher. Rah, 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 monotone, and bunch of information, your head's swinging around, and you can't get around it. And so sometimes people just shut off immediately. So please don't shut off immediately. When we're talking about teaching, we're going to talk about a healthy, godly model, a 5.0 or a fivefold model. That's what we're speaking about. And we're going to talk about some gifts and anointings, things like that. So teachers, in a sense, though, Amy, what we're talking about, they're like vine dressers.
What is a vine dresser?
Well, they go, maybe a husbandman is the
There's a
biblical
King James
term.
Word.
Yeah, husbandman.
Okay, so let's take it out of the biblical Christianese.
Right. They're a vine dresser. They're a person that goes out into where all the grapevines are, and they prune and they strengthen up the grapevines and things. So for what we're talking about as a teacher, what they're doing is they're pruning off improper teachings or improper applications of teaching. They're strengthening at the same time, rebuilding back up. But not only that, they are a model, not just in the words, but in their lifestyle. See, that's what makes all these effective. And since we're talking about teachers, to be an effective, godly, great teacher, you got to live what you're talking.
Yeah, it's not the do as I say, it's do as I do. And you model that for sure.
The power of modeling. Anyway, don't get me going. That's a whole other subject that I'll be on here for a long time talking about that. I will do an article on the leadersforge.com. I will have to do that. I'll have to write a model. The power of modeling. And I'm not talking about going down with those weird outfits on the catwalk. You know what I mean?
I thought you were just looking at me and you were thinking about models. So just saying.
Oh, my land. People, stay okay, with us. Here we focus, go. So let's focus. Talk about the Holy Spirit.
Let's talk about this. Yeah, because our DNA as a believer, really, we have a Christ DNA in us. And I know we're using that term, teaching DNA, because it looks a certain way. There's a part of Jesus that was the great rabbi.
He was an amazing teacher.
Mm-hmm. And that's the DNA part that we're looking at today. And we tap into Christ's DNA through the Holy Spirit, the gifts and callings that are on our lives that come by the grace of His Spirit. And so it's important that we have the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit becomes a teacher to teachers.
The Holy Spirit is not a doctrinal yes or no. I get to choose or not. It's the manifest presence of God. And so if you're a teacher and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, when you get the unction of the Holy Spirit upon you, you're able, it takes your gift and anointing to a whole other level. Because you know what? It's not what you can do. It's what He can do.
Exactly. Because you've got the Holy Spirit here who's now bringing revelation.
Oh, yes. Not information only.
The Holy Spirit. The Bible is full of verses that talk about what the Holy Spirit provides to us. And one of those is He teaches us. He gives us revelation. He opens up truth. Logos becomes rhema.
Yeah, let me interject here why I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a charismatic. It's a believer thing. It's a God thing. And so sometimes we got our head wrapped up in so much stuff that we're scared of the very presence of God. And when He comes in and fills us, whoo-wee, takes it to a whole other level, because it's really not about us. God just wants to use us. It's about your pupils. It's about the people that are listening underneath your influence. Can you imagine you increase that? I don't want to just a bunch of people come sit in the room all the time and take notes all the time. That's great. But I want to see them outliving what's being taught too. That's powerful. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's the unction of the Holy Spirit right there.
Yes, because what you know and what you do are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And the Bible even tells us that if you know to do right and don't do it, it's sin. So it's not about what we know. It's about what we operate with, of what we do, what we act on, the knowledge that becomes truth and life to us.
So if you are, let's look at a trait. So a trait of, we said the spirit of revelation is present. So if you're having a conversation and you are teaching somebody something without sounding like a teacher, but you are sharing with them something like that, that is, and they get it, that's a revelation that's present, might be an indicator that there's an anointing on your life that you are able to impart the knowledge that you have and you're able to give it to others and they actually get it. Not through the means of men or women. It was something like you just knew, they just got it and you just wondered how they received that. And it was because it was the working of the Holy Spirit there. So that's an element or a trait of something that's an indicator of something that you might carry. If you're a teacher or have a gift of teaching. Remember, it looks like in different forms. It's not always behind a podium. It's not always in a classroom. It could be in the classroom of life, and it could be whatever.
It could be one-on-one.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. And another element that the Holy Spirit adds is it brings an accuracy. You know, and I'm not saying that everyone's filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be right 100% of the time. We need to really be cautious about that, because we still have our flesh, our human mind and brain that's trying to figure things out. And we're still growing and arriving at truth and learning. And so the Holy Spirit just helps bring accuracy to what we're bringing, not only on the part of the teacher, the one who's teaching, but for me as the learner, as a listener to the teaching. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit brings witness in my spirit that what that person is saying is right or wrong.
And one of the traits is awesome that we're talking about is accuracy, that you desire to be accurate. So if you find that, you know, sometimes we look in hindsight and we find out, boy, I can't believe I ever taught that. I can't believe that. Yeah, my belief is so different now or whatever. It doesn't matter. But at the time, if you have a tendency to want to be accurate as you can without being a over the top type of person of control freak. But what I'm talking about is you like to be accurate. You like to do your homework. You like to do your research before you ever apply anything or before you ever deliver something. That is a tendency or a it's leaning towards some type of this teaching DNA. It's there because you strive for that. Someone who doesn't really care about accuracy and they're just telling you someone else's book because they like it, or they're just giving an opinion that they heard the very first thing without researching it. There's not really too much of a teaching thing going on there. They're just spreading what they heard. You know what I mean? There is a big difference with
or
that.
Or it's an irresponsible teacher.
Correct.
Maybe because they haven't learned. Maybe they're immature.
Right.
And haven't learned yet.
Which we're going to talk about in the next episode. So impartation. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to talk about impartation more in a couple of minutes, but it's really to understand the Holy Spirit's role in impartation, because it's the Holy Spirit that has the ability to transform a piece of information into something that changes a life. Mm-hmm. And that's really important to be able to tap into that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about impartation in a couple of minutes. The last thing that I do want to talk about, though, that the Holy Spirit brings in teaching, and it's so important, is authority.
Authority.
Here's Jesus, 12 years old, gets separated from his family. Well, it was intentional. He didn't get lost. He ended up in the temple when they found him a couple days later, and he's teaching. And you've got a 12-year-old teaching, and the difference, why these church
scholars.
Or religious scholars and leaders are sitting there listening to him, is because they recognize that he was one who spoke with authority. And that's because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I mean, who he was, yes. But we too, as teachers, are ones who impart knowledge and revelation, can operate with the authority of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, there's power there, because it's going to arrest your listeners.
Whew. Wow.
So we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
We want
Spirit,
to be. That's
right?
What we come down
okay.
to, right? That's
bottom
what we
line,
came to.
If you are a teacher, if you feel like these gifts and callings are on you, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you got filled with the Holy Spirit 30 years ago and you need a refreshing fill.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to bring new life and refreshment to your teaching, your impartation.
Teachers have to be teachable. Willing to grow too.
So we don't know it all.
So.
And we have to recognize that. You know, I think as a teacher myself, I am a governmental apostle teacher. Those are my two lead horses. And as teacher, you know, I think one of my favorite things in a session is to lead discussion. And a lot of people don't like that, because you don't know what's going to be said. You don't know what questions are going to be asked. And let me tell you, I've had some doozies over the years. Okay. I got some questions that are like, oh my goodness, how am I going to answer this, or even answer it in a public setting? And so as that came, at first I would get so scared and wondering, like, what if I say the wrong thing, or I don't know what to say, and I can't admit that I don't know what to say because I'm the one up here giving the answers. And the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and that's where I was wrong. I'm not the one with all the answers. God has the answers. And it was okay. I mean, the weight that lifted off my shoulders when I realized, and this was teaching, this particular instance that I'm thinking of was teaching in a Bible school setting, in a ministry training center. And when I realized I didn't have to have all the answers, whew, what a weight. Sometimes I could just say, you know what, that's a great question, and I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'm going to go research it out this week, and I'm going to seek the Lord about that and see what he shares with me. And, you know, that was wonderful. So it's understanding that I don't have all the answers. I don't have to have all the answers. I'm not expected to. And if people are expecting me to, then they have a wrong expectation. But it's also understanding that I need to be responsible to continue to grow and upgrade what I know. Do you have a scripture there, Matt, on that?
You're so awesome.
Oh, my Lord.
That was great. Oh, man, I'm sitting back here, guys, and I'm just sitting here listening to her, looking at her like, whoa.
This is my wheelhouse. I can't help it.
I know. I got hit with the anointing on that one. Wow. Acts chapter 18, 25 and 26. You guys know if you know your word, you know these verses. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and been fervent in the spirit, and he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. But he was only acquainted with the baptism of John. So he was accurate and everything up to that point about Jesus. Verse 26, here's what we're getting to. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. So he's got some zeal. He's getting on fire. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. How many teachers out there have had to take someone to the side and teach them a little bit more accurately?
Or maybe you've been taken aside.
Or me. Oh, yeah.
And taught a little more accurately.
Oh, yeah.
We don't like that. That's hard.
Right. But you know one thing about this man? You know, he submitted to Aquila and Priscilla to be able to do that. And it enhanced his message. Because he had everything, but there was some things that he was just leaving out that was so vital and so important. So much that these two, their calling in their fivefold ministry was to take people like that and just begin to be able to minister to them. They ministered to Paul, right? And others that would come through the church, that would come through their city. And so here they are, they're just beginning to teach him. So he's a teacher, and he at least was teachable. And I'll tell you, see, when you're teachable and you teach, there's a release of anointing there that's a whole other level that somehow people pick up on it. They might not really know what they're picking up on, but that is so much better than the know-it-alls. You can't speak to me. You can't tell me.
Mm.
You can't. Like, I don't know, as I become older, I don't know, but sometimes with peers and others, and they're really just off the mark there. I just sit there for a moment. If we're at some round table or something, I'm just sitting there thinking, is it even worth me speaking right now to say something to correct that? Because that is so, if I do that, like, because you know their presentation, the way they are, they don't want to be challenged on that. And so you use wisdom and hold
back. And especially if it's in a public setting,
yeah,
you don't want
bother.
To embarrass them. You know, one beautiful thing about Priscilla and Aquila is they took them aside.
There's the point.
You want to honor people. It's not about embarrassing them. As soon as you start to embarrass people and correct them, they put up defensive walls because of the embarrassment.
Right.
So you're not going to get anywhere. So do it properly if you are going to instruct and bring correction in that way.
Especially if it's your jurisdiction to do that, which we're going to talk about in the next episode.
That's right. We'll talk about that in the next episode.
Which is Knock Knock.
Who's there? A teacher. So we're definitely going to get into that. But another thing I just want to point out, you know, if you have gifts of teaching, and we're not necessarily even talking the governmental teacher in this episode, we're just talking about people who might have gifts. you know, have a skill and talent. It's really important to keep growing first in your character, grow in your relationship with God, because as you grow as an individual, as a person, and knowing God more, that's going to make you a better teacher. But secondly, grow in your skill. You know, take time to take some training on even learning how to lead discussions or facilitate that, or, you know, different topics that you're going to be teaching. Read other people's work on them too. Definitely study in the Word of God. That's your first and foremost. But hear what other people have to say on the subject too. And continually grow your skill. Learn how to be a better orator. You know, how do you speak better? How do you get your point across more? How do you reach the particular audience that you're speaking to? You might be a children's teacher, a minister in that area. And man, that takes skill. Don't tell me that anyone who ministers to children, that's just the easy stuff. I minister to children for years. I did children's ministry. I travel around and do children's crusades. I developed programs for children's ministry. And it's not easy. Children are brutally honest. And they'll let you know if you're connecting with them or not. They'll let you know if they're bored. And it's definitely a lot of work, no matter who your audience is.
And this does not exclude those that are teaching in the marketplace. So if you are in a professional state where you're teaching staff or anything like that, and you're a child of God, it does not exclude that. You bring that professionalism. It's the same thing. And sometimes when you cross bring that into a church, if you're first the professional, then you bring that gift into the church, you'll find others around you. Sometimes the church, it's almost like they don't hold the same level.
of excellence.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not making a general statement because I know amazing churches and all that ministries that do it. They do excellent. It's amazing. But I'm talking about in more mediocre situations, probably it's like just stick a body there. They're going to do it. And it just kind of flows, you know, so way. But there's no building of excellence. So even if you're in the business world, you know, you've got to maintain your skill. You are teaching. And especially if you're training and doing different things. So what we're talking about, these concepts, you might be a teacher.
Yeah, so definitely.
No, I'm not. I'm the guy behind the desk. You know, you might be a teacher, yes, if that's what you're doing.
So right? Quality is important no matter where you are.
No matter where you are, quality.
I taught, I've taught in the church. I've taught children's ministry. I've taught Bible school setting. I'm now writing books that my teaching anointing is flowing through writing. But I've also taught in the workplace. I worked in social services for 17 years, and probably a good 12 of those, 10 or 12 of those, was as a trainer. And I would do a lot of different trainings. And you try to teach rules and regulations and see how exciting people will get about that. It's not exciting, but you know, as I was teaching, I found the anointing in me. I'm not even teaching about God things, but the anointing mm-hmm. in me just flowed mm-hmm. and operated.
That's right.
And I loved it. Yes, I know it was rules and regulations, but I really enjoyed trying to look for creative ways to make that more interesting to the learners so they could remember them and learn. And that's teacher. Like it doesn't have to be in a church setting. I love how you mentioned
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be monotone. So don't just be a motivational teacher, be a transformational teacher.
And what we're looking at here, this is the difference between information and impartation. I know as a teacher, I love learning things, getting caught up in information. We're going to talk about how that can be a pitfall in a later session. But what is important is just really recognizing that I need to take this information and I need to make it a part of their lives. So how do I do that? I'm not just here to cheerlead them on. I'm here to see transformation. I'm here to see change and their lives impacted for the better because of this information that I have. And as a teacher, we should always be looking for ways to be transformational. Not just, I mean, motivational is good. Don't get us wrong.
No, that's right.
You know, we want to encourage
just don't
people.
Settle there.
Yeah, we just can't settle there for sure.
But that might be your calling. And so, but we're just trying to say not everybody has to be just motivational and get the hoopla. And then what? Nothing
right.
happens, right?
Right. So what we really want to do in Matthew 5:19, it talks about the fact that a teacher who teaches from what he lives is greater than one who teaches from what he knows. Let me say that again.
Say it again.
I was just going to say it again. A teacher who teaches from what he lives is greater than one who teaches just from what he knows.
Yeah. So, awesome.
And, you know, this is where, as we're teaching, the life of impartation that transfers things from information to impartation is my story. You know, as a teacher, I have a story, I have life experiences. And when I can pull from that in my presentation, then what I'm doing is I'm beginning to, it's transferring to impartation.
Right.
So correct. That means a piece of me, who I am, what I've experienced,
deposited.
What I've learned
yep.
is being deposited in
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to get to as
and
a teacher.
Powerful thing when you read your scripture, especially in the New Testament, you find out that teachers also, as they move in the supernatural, there's accompanying gifts of healings. There are miracles. There's gifts of knowledge. Wisdom, casting out demons. So you know what? If your picture of a teacher or teaching traits or DNA or pieces is the boring side.
The boring
or,
bow tie
or,
who stands
or whatever,
up front.
It is not because teaching leads to a changed life.
It is. Teaching is life.
So maybe
definitely.
We talked about some of these little traits and different things, and you might have some of these indicators, some of these things go, oh, yeah, that's why I enjoy that. Or why may that make sense? That's what we want these podcasts to do, that you get connected and
yeah.
things begin to just grow and expand.
Get a hold of your mentor, your
life.
Leader, and just get a hold of them and see how they can help you. Be blessed today. Subscribe and share this message so that others can experience and discover the amazing things that God's put in them.